Invite you, if you would, turn in to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 4. We're going to read together verses 16 through the end of the chapter, verse 25. And so I invite you to hear what the Spirit of the Lord says to the church. It says, therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words, it was credited to him, were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. So far, the reading of God's Word. Before we jump into the text, I do need to clear something up because I've had just enough people comment on it this morning. If you look at the title of the message this morning, Don't Stop Believing. Yes, I stole the title. From the band Journey. No, it is not our song of response after the message. But you know me a little bit. Classic rock is one of my things. I love the song Don't Stop Believing. And so that phrase, that tagline stuck in my brain as I read these words of Romans 4. And I trust it can become one of what's known as an earworm. When you hear that song again, maybe it sends you into a love for the song, but also a deeper love for Jesus, because you'll remember to look back at Romans 4. So, it won't be our song of response, but I hope it sticks with you. Instead, I want to invite you to consider what Romans is about, and how Romans helps us to not stop believing. Romans, as a book, was really a letter written to the church in Rome, roughly between AD 55 and AD 65. The church in Rome was an interesting group of people. Primarily, it was Jewish converts to Christianity, but they found themselves in a surrounding group of people who were known as the Jewish diaspora. It was godly Jewish people who had moved from their homeland to the capital of the Roman Empire. And so there was this group of people who were gathered together, Jewish in descent, some who had started to believe in the Messiah and so became part of this new group called Christian. And so they were in the midst of this incredibly difficult experience of not knowing whose faith was true and how to deal with people who were Jewish in descent but hadn't believed in the Messiah, or they believed in the Messiah but the rest of them didn't. And so they were trying to navigate this difficult place to be, let alone throw into the mix that when the Christians began to spread the word of who Jesus was and what Jesus had done, it started also to reach past the Jewish community and into the Gentile community. And so there was this random group of people, all with different backgrounds, trying to figure out what the church was going to look like. Who was in, who was part, and how did they distinguish how they were going to live in this ever-increasing, difficult political scene? Because what we also know is that as Paul is entering into this story, the Roman experience was starting to put pressure on the Roman church. And so not only were they trying to struggle and figure out who they were going to be as a people, as a church, but they were getting the outside pressure of the political day pressing in upon them, making it difficult for them to be the church they were called to be. And so Paul, who has never met this group of people yet, but is planning to make a trip towards to them, writes them a letter. And he says, this is who you're going to be as a church. This is how you're going to consider yourself and how you're going to make this church up. And he gives us this incredible invitation to believe. And how the experience of what it means to be the church is that it's this group of people who are gathered together because they believe in Jesus. And because they believe in what God can do. And so I want to look with you this morning about how Paul writes to this church who's discovering a greater vision for what the gospel can do, who's being given a higher calling in the midst of all the political chaos to be a people focused on the kingdom. And he says, don't stop believing. Because believing has always been the key to the story. He starts with this idea to believe in the midst of division. I want to look with you at verse 16, right where it starts. It says, therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to Abram's offspring. The promise comes by faith. Again, the promise that Paul is referring to here, particularly with Abraham, is the promise that goes all the way back to Genesis, all the way back really to almost the beginning of the story, when God comes to Abraham and he says, through you and your descendants, you will be a blessing to all nations. And the promise is that the seed of Abraham becomes the covenant people of God generation after generation after generation. That's the promise. And what Paul's about to do is explore and expound on who's all part of Abraham's seed. Remember the backdrop. It's Jews and Jewish Christians and Gentiles. Who's part of the story? Who's part of the covenant community? And Paul wants to put to rest the division that is there. So this promise that is given to Abraham is through his seed, there will be this incredibly large number of people who are called the believers and the family of God. But take note, it comes by faith. And Paul stresses this, that before Abraham ever did a single thing, he believed. He believed that what God said he would do, God would actually do. And as before any sort of movement, before any sort of activity, before any sort of work or obedience to the law, Abraham believed that God would make good on his word. It captures it for us. If you look in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, it's the by faith chapter. And the writer of Hebrews helps us understand that the same idea. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. Now, I often don't know where I'm going, but I don't have the promise that God is going to get me where I need to go. But consider the faith. Abraham believed that God would make good on his promise. The part that I left out here in the middle there, it talks about how Sarah, even though she was barren, they believed that God would make good on his promise, that they would be a great nation and made Sarah able to bear a child. They believed before they ever did anything. And then verse 17, by faith Abraham, when God tested him, he offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who embraced the promise that God was going to make him into a great nation, give him all sorts of descendants, was about to sacrifice his one and only son, the one whom God had given him to become that great nation. See, this idea from the very beginning, if you're going to discover who's part of this body of believers that's being formed, it's those who believe, who have faith. It's not on their own work, but on those who trust that God will make good on what He promises. Our catechism captures this. This is question and answer 60. It's talking about true faith. It says, even though I'm still inclined toward all evil, nevertheless, without my deserving it at all, out of sheer grace, God grants and credits to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ, as if I had never sinned or been a sinner, as if I had been as perfectly obedient as Christ was obedient for me, and all I need to do is accept this gift of God with a believing heart. It's about believing. It's about faith. It's about receiving what God has promised before we ever do anything else. This is Paul's word to the church. This is Paul's word to this group of people who are trying to understand what does it look like for and who we're going to be as we gather together. He says it all starts with faith. And he goes on and he explores that just a little bit more. Come back to verse 16. Because he says, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. And Paul's making a beautiful connection for us here. He's talking about, first of all, those of the law. And he's talking there about those who can trace their Jewish lineage to the line of Abraham. The family connection. Those, if you will, who have been born into the covenant community, who have received the story of God's faithfulness and His goodness, who have been told the promise of the coming Messiah throughout their entire life and throughout the generations. It's for those who will ultimately one day respond to the Messiah. Those who were born into the believing community and were told the stories of faith generation after generation. More on that in just a moment. But it's also for those who have the faith of Abraham. Those who weren't born into the covenant community, there wasn't a covenant community that started yet, but who believed in the promise that God had given to him before anything else came to be. Now think of it for just a moment, maybe in this way, as Paul's describing for us how the church has kind of formed together. In that particular context, in the Roman context, yes, it's the Jewish Christians. And it's those in the Jewish community who would respond to the Messiah. They were born of the law in the community. But it's also for the Gentiles, those outside of the covenant community who had to enter in by faith before they could ever see anything. It's similar to the way in which you and I experience the life of the church and our children born into a covenant community where they are taught and told the stories of God's faithfulness and His goodness and salvation in Jesus Christ. They're born into the covenant community. Yes, they have to respond in their own good time, but they are put in such an incredible place where the stories of God and of Jesus and the working of the Holy Spirit are told over and over and over again. And then there's those of the faith of Abraham who aren't born into such a loving and gracious community and are told the stories of Jesus over and over again, but come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ from outside of that community. But it all starts with believing. It all starts with faith. See, this is how Paul introduces life in the church. Yes, there's a covenant community. Yes, there's those outside of it. But we all enter through the same believing in the promise of God. From the beginning of the story to its end, It's all one long story pointing to Jesus. It's belief in the midst of division. And it's this faith that holds us together. It's also, I'll point out to you, belief in the presence of death. And I want to tell you what I mean by that. If you look at verse 14, it says, "As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed." Again, belief at the center. "The God who gives life to the dead and calls things into being that were not." Now, that has a very specific application for Abraham as he believes the promise of God, as he lives in faith before he can do anything. That's a very specific promise for Abraham. If you remember, Abraham was almost 100 years old, well past, even in that day, childbearing age. I sit at 45, and the thought of having another child right now sends me a little crazy. I'll be honest about that. But he's almost 100 years old. His body is well beyond childbearing years, and I would even have to imagine, just a little extrapolation as a parent, the patience by which to deal with one. And then you take and you add to that Sarah, who again, is well advanced in years. The scripture tells us that her body is beyond childbearing years. Her body is as good as dead, the scriptures say. And it's this place where they can do nothing on their own. This promise that they have received from God, they can't make it happen on their own. It's as if they are good and dead. And in that moment, God brings something to life. God brings into existence something that was not. And for Abraham and for Sarah, that was Isaac, the pure gift of God given to them as the seed and the heir of this incredible nation that God had promised to them, this incredible group of people and body of believers who would become the people of God, the Jewish people and the church as we know it. And so for Abraham and Sarah, it had a very specific meaning. But if you take a note, what also happens, Paul extrapolates on that. He uses a rabbinic technique, actually, and he captures the same idea in one part of Scripture, and he compares it to another. So he compares it, verses 24 and 25. He talks about that same pattern of death to life, and God making something new out of what was dead, bringing something to life that was not. He talks about it happens in Jesus, as Jesus goes through death and resurrection. And in that process of Jesus doing that, it also is for us. That when we were dead in our sins, Jesus brings us to life in Christ. He calls out something new in us. Just a few highlights. Ephesians chapter 2. "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the rulers of the kingdom of the air. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Jesus Christ. Even when you were dead in your transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved." You see, it's the same process. It's the same pattern that when we are dead in our sins, God, through Jesus Christ, brings us back to life. He makes something new that was not there before. Paul captures it in Colossians chapter 2. "When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all your sins, having canceled the charge of legal indebtedness," justification, if you notice the end of the passage, "which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross." Friends, this is the pattern that it comes in belief. That in our moment of death and when we are dead in our sins, God makes something new by the power of Jesus Christ, who himself has went through death into life. It's the process and the pattern of life in Jesus Christ. We are being made new. And as Paul writes this to the church, as he gives them a bigger kingdom vision for what this group of people gathered together looks like. He says to them, don't stop believing. Because believing doesn't start by what you see. If you look back to verse 18, this is at the heart of what Paul wants the church to experience. He says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him. Against all hope, he believed. Friends, this is the moment where the realities of life would make us walk away from faith. Against all hope. This is a moment where Abraham looks at himself and at Sarah, his wife, and they're nearly 100 years old, and he says, there's no way that we will ever have children and we will ever be this great nation that was promised. This is the moment, and I praise God for the gift of the Holy Spirit leading us to Adam's profession today, where you hear the news of a friend taking their own life, not once, not twice, not three times, but four. And where you are so tempted to walk away from faith, and in fact, for a season you do. But against all hope, he believed. It's the moment where you and I, in the midst of life, find ourselves so mired in sin or brokenness or shame or pain that there could be no way for us to experience grace. That we believe. We believe the promises of God. And as verse 21 says, that we are fully persuaded that God has the power to do what God has promised. That we are fully persuaded in that moment, even when all hope is lost, we hold on to that glimmer of hope that says, God will do what God has promised. And that is save us, restore us, and make us new in Jesus Christ. Friends, this is Paul's answer to what the church was going through. About navigating life in a politically chaotic world. About navigating what does it mean to be the church. How do we know? Who do we call the body of believers? He says it starts with belief. Being fully persuaded that God will do what God has said he will do. That God has sent Jesus to take us from death into life. To transform us and make us new. And it all starts with believing in him. So yeah, don't stop believing. Don't stop believing about what God has done in Jesus Christ, where he has brought Jew and Gentile together under the name of Christ himself. Don't stop believing what God is doing today in Jesus Christ. We witness it as Adam stands before you and he tells you the story of what God has done through Jesus in his heart and life today. And I trust, given the opportunity, several of us could do the same of what Jesus has done for us today. Don't stop believing of what God can do in us through Jesus Christ. Friends, this is our hope for the future. Rooted in what we experience today, grounded in what he has already done in the past. The invitation Don't stop believing. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, this morning you gather us together as your people and reminding us that it is by grace that we have been saved through faith, by believing in the person and work of Jesus Christ, who has been at the center of your story from the very beginning. For he was there when creation was spoken to existence. He was there when you made your promise to Abraham that he would be the father of many nations, of this gathering of people. At the center of that people was Jesus. You were there when Jesus took on flesh, when he died our death, when he was raised to life so that we might be given new life and life everlasting. You are here at work in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit through the gift of grace received by faith. And so, Father, our heart's desire this morning is to never stop believing. Believing in what Jesus has done in our hearts and lives, drawing us to himself. And believing in the promise that you who began a good work in us will not stop until you've seen it to completion. And so we will keep believing in the power that you are able to do what you have promised you would. So make us new. Make us whole. Transform us more and more as followers of Jesus Christ. For this we ask, in Jesus' name, amen.